Okay, we're going to start at the bottom of Kuf Yod Amud Beis, 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom of the page, where the Gemara says, there's the two dots over there, and Gemara says, Nasan es hakesef la'anshei ha-mishmar. So if you look back at the Mishnah on Kuf Yod Amud Aleph, so the Mishnah had said, in the middle of the Mishnah, it says before the wide lines, it says Nasan es hakesef la'anshei mishmar. So if the person who steals is now coming to pay restitution, he's coming to atone for his sin, and he gives over the kesef, he gives over the monies to the anshei mishmar, to the kohanim that are watching over the particular mishmar in the Beis Hamikdash and doing the avoda service, and then umeis and the owner dies. So we say that the yarshim, the inheritors of that gazlan, can no longer extract those monies anymore from the Beis Hamikdash, and they remain in the Beis Hamikdash and are used for, Beis Hamikdash purposes, and they're no longer able, even though the owner did not effect atonement. So that's what the Gemara is talking about. Nasan es hakesef la'anshei mishmar. Amar Abaye, Shma mina. We see from this halacha, kesef mechaper mechsa, that the money that is given over, even without the ashim, even without offering, again, the gazlan has to do two things. He has to pay back restitution for what he stole, as well as bring a carbon ashim. So we know in this case he gave over the kesef, he did not bring the carbon yet. Even though he gave over the money, we say that the Beis HaMikdash can keep that money, and the yarshim cannot take that money back. So what do you see from here? Shema mina kesef mechaper mechsa, that those monies do affect some form of atonement. They accomplish 50% of the atonement. How do we see this? The ilom mechaper, had they not been effective at all, hava mina, I would have said the following: mahadir liyarshim. Why don't you just return it? Why can't the yarshim go ahead and collect it? There's been no effectiveness of the money. They essentially have every right to all the rights to that money, so they should be allowed to go ahead and claim the money back. My time, why would they be allowed to make that claim? The adaita dehachi lo yahavle, because their father, right, the gazlan, did not give it over to the Beis HaMikdash with the intent that they have no effect. He was giving them over so that he could effect atonement. If they have not effected any atonement, so then essentially like a mekach tos, it's a type of mekach tos. He gave it over, there's no asham, they have not effected any atonement, he should be allowed to claim them back. Obviously then, the fact that he gave them over and we're not allowing the yashim to take it back, they must have accomplished some level of atonement, and therefore that's the reason why we don't let the yarshim take them back. Gemara says, El Me'at, if that's true, if that logic is true, Chatas Shemesu Ba'aleh, it's going to bring us into a very interesting scenario here. Chatas Shemesu Ba'aleh, if a person brings a carbon chatas, and before offering the carbon chatas, the person dies. He's makdish the carbon chatas. He sets it aside for the Beis HaMikdash, and then he dies. But he never had the opportunity to bring the chatas. So in that eventuality, so Gemara says, so the halacha is, elamayat chatas shemesu ba'aleh tepek l'chulim. Why can't you just take it out and take it out to chulim essentially? Take it away from the Beis HaMikdash. The halacha is not that way. The halacha is that you have to kill it. So why is he not allowed to take it back essentially? Why? Because you can say the same logic. The adaita dehachi lo efrasha. When he set aside his karmah chatas, he was setting it aside so that it can affect a kapara for him. He died. It's no longer going to affect kapara for him. So why can't he now be allowed to take it back? So Gemara, so that would seem to dispute the halacha that we just laid forth. So Gemara says, no. Amri chatas shemesu ba'aleh hilchasa gemirila. Chatas shemesu ba'aleh, in the case of a chatas where the owner died, that really is an outlier, because it's a halacha l'moshe misinai, meaning even though we've established a principle that if something's not going to affect atonement, you technically would be allowed to pull it back. The only reason by asham you're not allowed, by the gazan you're not allowed to, is because it has affected some atonement. Chatas would seem to dispute that halacha, because chatas, you see that chatas you cannot take back. So Gemara says chatas is a special case, because it's a halacha l'moshe misinai that says you're not allowed to take back the chatas. The chatas has to remain in the Beis HaMikdash. It has to, the lamisa azla, it's killed. That animal is killed. El me'ata, the Gemara says, fine, chatas may not be a good proof. Asham shemesu ba'aleh, I'll bring you another type of carbon that doesn't have the same halachas. That's different than chatas. An asham, a carbon asham, a similar case to chatas. Shemesu ba'ala, someone sets aside again a carbon asham. The owner dies before he's actually able to, before they're actually able to offer up his carbon. So lepek lechulin, again, a person should be allowed to, his yarshim should be allowed to take it out into chulin. They should be allowed to take it back from the Beis HaMikdash. We're three lines up from the bottom on Kufiyodam and Beis, the first word on the line. The adad did the hachilo efreshe, because he did not give it over to the Beis HaMikdash with that intent. With what intent? With the intent that it should not be mechaper. He gave it over so that it can be mechaper. It's no longer going to affect his atonement. It should be, again, like a mekach tos. He should be allowed to take it back. So Gemara says, Asham nami yochaz lagimirila. Asham, as well, is a halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. What's halacha l'moshe mi-sinai? Kol shebachatas mesa. Anything that, with respect to a chatas, we would put to death, meaning an animal, by a chatas, when a chatas offering is not able to be brought into Beis HaMikdash for whatever reason, the owner died in this specific case, so the animal is killed. So the equivalency by an asham would be that the same case by an asham, the halacha would be that roeh. We allow the animal to go ahead and graze until it gets a mum. Once it gets a mum, we redeem it with money. Once we redeem it with money, we take those monies and we buy a carbon olam. We offer it on the mizbeach. Now the Gemara asks another interesting question. Elamei ata, fine. So you've told me why chatas and asham are not good questions. Elamei ata yevama shenafel lefei mukashkin, a woman who falls to her brother, right, in yibum, but the brother is a mukashkin. He has some sort of He has some sort of sickness by which, you know, she would find him disgusting. He has boils or whatever it is, mukashchin. So, and she wouldn't want to marry him. So tepek below chalitza. Why don't we allow her to dissolve her marriage with the original brother without chalitza, or actually with this new brother without? Usually, she'd have to do chalitza if she doesn't want to marry him. Let her go out without chalitza. Why? Because we can say that adaita dehachilo kitsha atzma, because when she originally married the first brother, had she known, right, that this brother was a mukashkin, which she didn't know at the time, or maybe he wasn't even a mukashkin at the time. Let's assume he wasn't a mukashkin at the time, right? She wouldn't have married the original brother. So why don't we allow her to dissolve her marriage with this next brother instead of doing yibum or chalitza? Just let her go free. So Gemara says, Tosfos actually just asked, after the discussion, he was asking an interesting question. He says, based on the Gemara's logic, any time a person sells something to someone, if you're not happy with what you bought, why can't you just say, right? The Gemara's, I could just say that I didn't buy it with the intent of this item falling apart, like, you know, falling apart 2 days later. Tosfos ultimately gives an answer, but it's just an interesting question to hear. Anyways, so Gemara says, why can't a woman say, why can't she go out without chalitza? Because, again, she did not get married originally to the first brother with the intention of having to now marry another brother who she might find repulsive and therefore have to do chalitza. So let her go out free. So Gemara says, Hasam, anan sahade. We know there's a general understanding, the menach nichala b'chaldehu, that the woman is willing to marry her first husband, regardless of the fact that her brother, the eventuality that her husband may die, she may fall without, and he'll die without her having any children, she'll fall to her brother in Yibum. Even with that eventuality, she'd be willing to be mekadesh herself to the first husband. Rashi says the mienach nichale, the first Rashi lehiskadesh l'rishon, to marry the first brother shehu shalem al safek zeh sheim yamos tizakek la'achiv. That on this eventuality that had, if he were to die, she'd have to go ahead and marry his brother. Kiresh Lakish, and that's spelled out in the halacha Resh Lakish, the Amar Resh Lakish, Tav Lemesan Tandu, and we've seen this, it comes up in Shas multiple times, Tav Lemesan Tandu, Milamesav Armila. There's a saying amongst women that it's better to live with someone else, Tandu, with another person, Milamesav Armila, than to sit alone. So therefore, a woman would be more willing to give herself up in Kiddushin, even, again, if there are possibly some issues with even with her husband, but certainly with his brother. Okay, so remember back in the Mishnah, the Mishnah talked about the different. Again, there were different mishmaros. There were different sets of Kohanim that officiated in the Beis HaMikdash at different times. Each week there was a different set of Kohanim. So the Mishnah talked about, again, there was the person who's seeking restitution for his gezela is giving over money, and he's giving over a karban. Question is, who did he give it over to? So the Mishnah talked about a case where he gave over the money to one mishmar, right? One officiating set of Kohanim, and the asham to another officiating set of Kohanim. And the Gemara calls those mishmaros. One mishmar is the mishmar of Yehoyariv, and one mishmar is the following mishmar is the mishmar of Yedaya. So Gemara wants to know, what's the halacha here? Tanur Rabbana, three lines down the top of Kuf Yud Aleph. Tanur Rabbana, nasim asham Yehoyariv. So if a person gave over the money to Yehoyariv, the chesav liyadaya, and he gave over the money. So they first gave over the money, the asham to Yoyariv. Then he gave over the gazlan, gave over the kesef, the money to Yedaya, to the next mishmar. Okay, so the gemara, so the halacha is, and that's not the order. The order is that the first you make monetary restitution, and then, right, the person, it's like ben adam like you need to resolve you know the ben adam la chavero first, and then you can worry about the ben adam lamakom. But so you first give over the kesef, the money has to be paid, and then you give the asham. So this was done backwards. So there's going to be a kenas, and the question is what exactly is the kenas? So yachzer kesef. So yachzer, Rabbi Yehuda holds yachzer kesef etzel asham. So you take the money which was given to the second mishmar, the mishmar of Yedaya, and you give it back to the mishmar of Yehoyariv. That's the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda. So he says the kesef goes back to the asham. Once they're both in the same place, so now that you have the kesef and you have the asham, you can then offer up the karban asham because you already have the kesef. That's the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda. The chachamim omer yachzer asham etzel kesef. The mishmar that has the kesef, it's holding on to the kesef. In this particular case, the mishmar of Yedaya, so they now, the asham transfer, assuming that the asham hasn't been brought yet, the asham is transferred to their mishmar, they offer it up, and they have the rights to that karban. Gemara says, now, hechidami, what exactly is the scenario here? If you gave the asham to Yehoyariv, this first mishmar, bimishmarto de Yehoyariv, in their proper appointed time, during their mishmar, v'chesef liyadaya bimishmarto de Yedaya, and the money you gave over to the mishmar of Yedaya, the following set of Kohanim, you gave it over to them during their, you know, the following week, during their mishmar, during their appointed time. And each one should be zoch in his own. Why are we pulling it from one and giving it to the other? Each one received it in their. They didn't do it really. I mean, we'll see if they did something wrong or not. But at least the second mishmar didn't do anything wrong. They accepted the kesef, right? They should be allowed to. The mishmar of Yedaya got the kesef. They should be allowed to keep the kesef. Why would we do anything to them? They did the right thing. So Amar Rava. So Rava says no. Hacha b'mayaskina. What's the case that we're talking about over here? The Yahav Asham Leo Yarav, again, it goes Yo Yarav, and then the following week is Yedaya. So you gave Yeho Yarav the first Mishmar, you gave them the Asham, which is wrong. You should have given them the Kesef first. Bimishmarta Yo Yarav, you gave it to them during their Mishmar, fine, but you gave them the wrong item first. The Kesef Liyadaya, but then you gave the money, you gave it to the next Mishmar, the Mishmar of Yedaya. Bimishmarta Yo Yarav, but you gave it to them, not during their time, you gave it to them early. You gave it to them the week earlier, you gave it to them during the Mishmar of Yehoyariv. So Gemara says, Rehuda Savar, where Rehuda holds, Kevin Delav Mishmaris Yedaya he. So since Yedaya accepted the money not during their Mishmar, Liyadaya Kansinale, so we kenas them, right? We impose a kenas, a penalty on the Mishmar of Yedaya, and we say, you shouldn't have accepted the money now, it's not your Mishmar. You need to give it back to the Mishmar of the first Mishmar of Yehoyariv. And they get everything. They get the money. They get the karban asham. So hilchach yachzer kesef etzel asham. That's why we take the money from Yedaya and we give it back to the mishmar of Yehoyariv. The rabbanan savi and the rabbanan hold in the same type of case where again, well, you'll see in a second. I'll spell it out. Rabbanan savi shaloka din hu avad b'nei Yehoyariv. No, the first ones who did the wrong thing were the mishmar of Yehoyariv. They accepted the money. I'm sorry. They accepted the asham in the right time, but they accepted the wrong item. The kiblu asham ikame kesef. They were willing to accept the asham. They could have told the person, "You're doing the wrong thing. You're in the wrong order." The kiblu asham ikame kesef. They accepted the asham first before the money. Hilkach lididhu kansinil. So therefore, you can ask them. V'yachzer asham eats al kesa. So they and they then have to transfer over, not offer the asham, allow it to stay in the Beis Hamikdash until the next mishmar, the following mishmar of Yedaiah comes, and Yedaiah goes ahead and has all the rights to the asham and all the rights to the money. Okay, so Tanya, so that's not, so that's Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda holds that we knas Yedaiah the second mishmar. And the Chachamim hold, we can ask the first Mishmar for accepting the wrong carbon. Fine. And we pass in actually like Rabbi Yehuda, and you'll see that Gemara is going to say a bunch of halachas according to Rabbi Yehuda, which would again seem to indicate that halacha actually does follow Rabbi Yehuda. So it's going to spell out more halachas with respect to the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda. So Tanya, Amar Rabbi, Ladir Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ikidbu b'nei yoyarev, ikrivu asa asham. If the b'nei yoyarev, the yoyarev, the first Mishmar, went ahead and actually brought the asham, right? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, what do they have to do? Im kidmu b'nei yoyarev ikrivu asa asham, yachzer v'yavi asham acher. If the b'nei yoyarev went ahead and brought the asham first before the kesef, which is not effective, so they have to, what then happens? Yachzer v'yavi, meaning in an ordinary course, what would happen is, had they not offered the asham, they would receive back the money from Yedaiah, from the second Mishmar, because now they have the money and the Asham, and now they can offer the Asham. What happens if they offer the Asham before they receive the money back? So the Asham was being offered, it shouldn't be effective anymore. They haven't received the money yet. So the Asham should not be effective. So that's what the Gemara is talking about over here. Im kidmu b'nei yoyarev ikrivu asa asham, if they in fact brought the asham before they received the money back, so yachzer v'yavi asham acher, so the second asham has to be brought for atonement for the gazlan. The akrivu b'nei Yedaiah, who brings that carbon asham? The second mishmar, the b'nei Yedaiah, who are holding on to the kesef, they haven't returned it yet, so they're going to be the ones who ultimately bring the second carbon asham. They have the kesef. There's now a carbon asham, and it will affect atonement for the gazlan. V'zachu alolu b'mashav b'yadan, and the mishmar of Yehoyariv, who brought the asham, the first asham, before they receive the kesef, they can go ahead and keep their asham. It's not effective for the owner, but they can get it, go ahead and keep it. The Gemara says, one second, how could they keep it? What are they keeping it for? It wasn't a good carbon. They shechted it before they received kesef. The carbon that they brought, the first asham, there's two ashams, right? They brought a first asham without kesef. The first asham technically is not effective. They didn't receive kesef yet. Because they shechted it already, the gazlan needs to bring another carbon. He did the wrong thing. He needs to bring another carbon asham, gives it to the second mishmar who's holding on to the kesef. But what happens to that first asham that was brought? So Gemara says they can keep it. So Gemara says, Amri lo my chazi. What are they keeping? It's not worth anything. Right? For what does it fit? Asham pasal hu, it's an asham pasal, right? It was shechted without any purpose, essentially. So Amarava lo oro, they can still keep the skins of the carbon asham. So they go ahead and keep the skins. The second mishmar, b'nei Yedaiah, they go ahead and offer the second asham, and they have the money, the kesef, and they're the ones who ultimately affect kapara for the gaza. So, Tanya, that's the first halacha. Tanya, Amar Rebbe. So Rebbe says the second halacha, another halacha with respect to Rebbe Yehuda. Amar Rebbe, Adiv Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda, in kiyem asham, if the asham is around, again, the asham has not been brought. Before we talked about halacha when the asham was brought, the asham now in this case has not been shechted yet. So yachzer asham etzal kesef. So what do? You take the asham and you give it to the mishmar who's holding on to the kesef. And Gemara says, one second, but Rabbi Yehuda yachzer kesef etzal asham isle. That's not the halacha. Rabbi Yehuda holds the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda holds you take the kesef from the second mishmar and you bring it back to the first mishmar. So this is exact opposite of what Rabbi Yehuda says. So Gemara says, no. Halacha v'maya skin. And what do we mean when we say this halacha with respect to Rabbi Yehuda that you take the asham? And when do you take the asham and give it to the second mishmar, the mishmar holding on to the kesef? So Gemara says, "Kigon de nafak mishmarta de yoyarev." That's only when the yoyarev's time is up. Velo tavo, and they never claimed the money. Meaning, b'nei Yedaiah are the ones that are holding on to the money. The second mishmar, yoyarev has every right to claim that money and say, "Give it to us. You accepted it improperly." You accepted it out of your time. Give it to us. If their mishmar is over and they never claimed it, so he says in that case, Yehoyarev, the one holding on to the asham, then and assuming that they haven't brought it yet, transfers the asham to the next mishmar, and the next mishmar then will have the kesef, they'll have the ashram, and they'll be the ones to officiate the ashram as well as the and keep the kesef. Gemara says, "V'hakamash malon." What is the halacha teaching us? That achuli achilu gabayu, when they allow their mishmar to expire without extracting, without claiming the money from the second mishmar, so they are essentially foregoing their right to the ashram, their right to claim it, and therefore they're going to also forego their right to hold on to this ashram. Achuli machal, they don't want to have anything to do with this atonement, and therefore they transfer that ashram to the second mishmar. So Gemara says, fine. But Tanya Idach, we have another brisa that says, Amar Rebbe l'divrei Behuda, in kiyem asham, another halacha with respect to Rebbe Yehuda, in kiyem asham, yachzer kesef etzel asham. This actually spells out the halacha of Rebbe Yehuda like we had it before. Another brisa expressing the halacha of Rebbe Yehuda. What does it say? In kiyem asham, if the asham's around, yachzer kesef etzel asham, that the kesef is taken from the second mishmar, brought back to the first mishmar, and the first mishmar now has the asham, and they have the kesef. The Gemara says, Peshitta, that is Rabbi Huda's halacha. Why are you restating the halacha of Rabbi Huda in the second bride? So the Gemara says, Hacha. The Gemara says, Hachi Islay. Peshitta, Hachi Islay. That is Rabbi Huda's halacha. So the Gemara says, no. I'll tell you the novelty in that halacha. Why? Hacha Maiskinan ki go denafik mishmarta dahani udahani. Where both mishmoros, neither of them did anything. Maybe they didn't know what to do, or they didn't have time to do it. The first mishnah expires, they didn't bring the asham. Second mishmar expires, they don't take the asham. Okay, both mishmaros expire, so you still have the asham sitting around, you still have the money sitting around, and Rabbi Yehuda says, still states his halacha. What's the novelty in that case? I would have thought to say, perhaps, in this type of scenario, achuli gabi hadadi, that each one essentially is being mochel to each other, and therefore, maybe that would not fall under the regular halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, kamash malon. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda wants to state in this particular case, even once both mishmaros expire, the fallback now is the original halach of Rabbi Yehuda. Kivin lo tavi, since neither one claimed from the other the karban or the money, the first one didn't claim the money, once his mishmar expired, the second mishmar didn't claim the karban, and now everyone's mishmar expired. So what we do now is we go back to the original halacha. The original halacha states that the first mishmar now has the right, I guess once their mishmar, I don't know how long the karban can stay for a while, but once their mishmar comes back, they'll be able to then claim the money back from Yedaya, they'll have the asham, they'll have the money, and they'll go ahead and offer up the asham and accomplish the atonement for the gazim. Okay. So the mishnah had said, Allah, now we're at the two dots. Shamebi gizelo achilo hevi ashamo. The mishnah had said, If a person brings the gezela, meaning restitution for the gezela before he brings the asham, or a scenario in which you bring the kesef, the money first, ad shelo hevi asham before the asham, yatsa. Hevi asham ad shelo hevi gezela, if you bring the carbon asham before you bring the gezela, you're not yotze. This is actually what we've been discussing, if you do it in the wrong order. The Mishnah now is going to spell out, where do we know that halacha from? Like, where do we learn that out from? We know that that's true. We've been assuming that, but where do we know that from? So Gemara says, Minani mili. Amar Rava, damakra, ha'asham hamushav lashem lakohen, milvad el hakipurim asher yechafer bo. So ha'asham hamushav lashem is, we're going to assume that asham here does not mean the carbon asham, it means the money restitution, and we're going to explain a little bit where we learn that out from. It's learned out from another pasuk. But so that's the asham, that's the payment, that's the kesef, and then milvad el kippurim, aside from the ram that is going to affect kapara. So you see that the kesef comes first, and then the el kippurim comes second in the pasuk. So Gemara says mechlal the kesef ratio. So you see from the pasuk that kesef comes first. So Gemara says, Amar Ahumi Rabbanu L'Rava and Liata Milvad Olas HaBoker. It's a pasuk that we say, right? Milvad Olas HaBoker Asher L'Olas HaTamid Ta'asu Aseila. You bring the carbon musaf. It would seem to, based on our understanding, it would seem to mean that the carbon musaf is brought before the carbon tamid. We know that that's not true. The carbon tamid is really the first thing that's brought. Even when you bring musafim, we say it later in davening, right? It doesn't come first. We do the carbon tamid first. So milvad, you see, does not mean that you bring it first. The Gemara says hachinami, right? Mechladu musafim resha. You can assume that the carbon musaf comes first. Vahatanya, we know that that's not true. Minayin shlo yehidav or kodem l'tamid. How do you know that nothing comes before the carbon tamid? The carbon tamid is the first carbon that's brought every morning, even in the morning when you have carbon musaf, even in a day when you have carbon musafim. So Gemara says, Shamud lomar va'arach aleh ha'olah, that you first set up the olah, which is the carbon tamid, and then you can bring, meaning you inaugurate the mizbeach each morning with the carbon olah and of the tamid, and then you can bring the other carbonas. So you know that the musafim do not come first. The Gemara says, Vamarava ha'olah, Ola Rishona. When it says Va'arach Aleh Ha'ola, so the indication there is that the Ola Ha'ola, that the Ola is Rishona, is the first one. So Gemara says Amar Ana. He says, you know what? I'm not learning it out from the word Milvad. You're right. Milvad does not indicate that it comes first. You're correct. Ana Miasher Yechaper Bo Nafgale Va'adayin Lo Kiper. So it says, no. I learned it out from the fact that the pasuk says El Hakipurim Asher Yechaper Bo, the ram of Kapara, with which he will be mechaper, which will ultimately affect atonement for him. Not right now affecting atonement, it ultimately later on will affect atonement. Now you have the kesef, later on at some point, once it's brought, after the kesef has been received, it will affect atonement. So it's not learned out from that word milvad. Allows us to understand, that, right? So there's no indication that milvad is different than we originally understood it to mean, and it's fine. Mar says, Nasan lo sakaren. So it's going to be talking about here the order again, the order in which the Gazan pays up his responsibilities. So Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan, minayin shem hevi mi'ila hevi asham. If a person is mi'ila, a person, right, improper usage of hektish, so a person has to bring. Besides, he has to provide restitution for whatever he sold, the monetary restitution, and he has to bring a carbon. And he also has to add on a fifth. There's three different things he has to do. He has to give back the money, he has to bring a carbon, and he pays a fifth penalty for violating hektish by misappropriating hektish. So Gemara says, "Minayin shem hevi mi'ila so v'lo hevi ashamo." If a person, how do we know that if a person brings the mi'ila, brings the money, but doesn't bring the carbon asham, or ashamo v'lo hevi mi'ila so, or he brings the carbon asham and does not bring the money? Shelo yatza, that he's not been yotze, he's not been fulfilled his obligation of making restitution to the Beis HaMikdash. Tamalomar, be'el ha'asham v'nislach lo. So it says the ayal, it says the be'el, and then it says ha'asham. And the asham, again, we're going to understand to mean that's the money. Even though asham, usually, you know, you assume it means the carbon, but here it means, in this case, it means the atonement, the money that he's bringing for atonement. So there's an ayal and there's an asham, and there's two separate things, an ayal and an asham. So you need both of those, v'nislach lo, and then he'll accomplish slicha. Forgiveness. How do you know if he brought the asham before he brought the money, ad shelo hevi mi'ilasa, before he brought the mi'ila, the monetary payment, shelo yatza, that he's not been fulfilled his obligation? Tamalomar be'el ha'asham, because again, you see from the pasuk, what's the order of the be'el ha'asham? I was going to say you see from the wording, but the wording is the opposite. But Be'el Ha'asham, Ha'asham B'chvar. When it says Be'el Ha'asham, the Asham, the hay with the Asham seems to indicate that the Asham was, which is not the carbon, the Asham is the money, the Asham was already there, and then you bring the carbon Asham. Yachal, you would have thought, we've discussed the monetary payment, we've discussed the carbon. The third thing we said that he's paying is the fifth. Now you would have said, Kishem She Yachal, you would have thought Kishem She Ayel Va'asham, just like the carbon and the Asham payment, Ma'akvin, are hold back the forgiveness, hold back the slicha for the person. Ka Chomesh Ma'akiv, so also the Chomesh's fifth payment may prevent him from accomplishing or receiving the kapara. That the ayal and the asham are what ultimately accomplish slicha, and the fifth is just a penalty payment. It does not hold back the slicha. Ayal va'asham ma'akim v'hektish, v'ein chomesh ma'akiv. The ayal and the asham are the ones that are ultimately affect the atonement, and the Chumash is not, does not hold back the atonement. V'ilamed hekdesh mihedyot v'hedyot mihekdesh. And we learn out hekdesh from hedyot and hedyot from hekdesh. Again, I told you we assume that asham means payment. We actually learn that out from another halacha, and the Gemara just explained how we know that. Hekdesh mihedyot. We learn out hekdesh from hedyot. Ma asham dehasam, just like the asham that was said by halacha of a hedyot, karen. Just like asham, we know talk is referring to karen. It's referring to the principal payment. Af asham dehacham, so also the asham that we use over here, karen, it means the principal payment, meaning it's the money. It doesn't mean carbon. The hedyot mehekdesh, and we also learn out the halacha of hedyot from hekdesh. What's that halacha? Ma hekdesh in chovish ma'akev, af hedyot nami in chovish ma'akev. So also, just like by the halacha of hekdesh, when one misappropriates hekdesh, this fifth penalty payment does not hold back the forgiveness. So also, in the other instance by hedyot, this fifth payment will not hold back his atonement. All right. Hadron Aloch, Hagozel Eitzim. So now we're up to a new parak, new discussion. Hagozel, so halacha here is Hagozel Machil Azbanav. A person steals and then feeds that gazela, whatever he stole, he feeds that item to his children. Or he leaves it over to them as an inheritance. So they're ultimately the ones who consume the gazela. He stole it. He did the act of, right? He did the maisa gazela. He stole it. They're the ones who ultimately, in the ordinary course, if it's still around, he would just return it. In this case, they were the ones who consumed it or are still holding on to it in their inheritance. So, Hagozul Machas Banaf, he feeds it to his children, or Vihiniach Lefneim, or Rashi says, O Sheiniach Lefneim Agzela, Agzela Kayamas, or he leaves it over to them and it's still around. Peturim Milashalam, so they do not have to pay back. And the Gemara is going to talk about exactly what is going on here in the Mishnah. Peturim l'shalim, they're pater from paying back. Vim haya davar sheyesh bo achrayis, however, if it's something that has achrayis, ordinarily that means it's just another way that we refer to karka. The Gemara is going to have two different interpretations of this. But vim haya davar sheyesh bo achrayis, if the item is something that has achrayis, chayavim l'shalim. So in that case, they will not be pater. They will be responsible to pay back for it. So Amar of Chista. Gazav alone is yashu b'alim. If a person stole something and the owner has not given up hope, he's not given up hope. Uva acher v'achlo. So let's say somebody stole something. He still has it. The owner has not given up on it. And then a third party goes ahead and takes it from him or eats it. Someone else eats it. It doesn't have to be his children. It could be his children. It doesn't have to be his children, right? Someone else eats it. Ratza mizegova. So the original owner of the item can collect from either party. He can collect from the person who originally stole it, or he can collect from this third party who ultimately consumed the gzela. He has the right to collect from either one of them. So, and then maybe, I don't know if the gazan can go, maybe the gazan could go collect from this third party himself, but I'm not sure. I guess he'd have to pay it back anyways. But gazal what's the reason? What's the logic behind that? My taima kolkama delo nisyashu abaylam, because so long as the original owner has not given up on the item, we say b'shusi demarikai. It is still in his rishus in terms of ownership. He still is the rightful owner to the item. And therefore, when it's stolen, so it's essentially almost being stolen, even though it's being stolen from a gazlan, it's still always considered to be in his rishus. So therefore, he has the right now to collect from this third party. So Gemara is going to ask a question now. Now, our Mishnah would seem to argue on that halacha. Why? Because the Mishnah says, Tanan, Hagozul Machas Banav, if somebody steals something and then feeds it to his children, v'niach lifneim, or he leaves it over to them, peturin, and they're the ones who ultimately, let's say, eat it or consume it, whatever it is, peturin milashalim, so they're pater from paying it. So to Tiyufta Derv Chista, that would seem to argue on the halacha of Rav Chista. That would refute Rav Chista's halacha. Why? Rav Chista said that, right, the third party who eats it, you're allowed to collect from them. Here we're saying that you're not allowed to collect from these children, they're pater. If you went to go and collect from them, you're not allowed to collect from them. So Gemara says, Amal Chara Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, Kitanya ahi li achar yish. When are you not allowed to collect from children? Let's say in the case of the Mishnah, that's once the owner was miyayish. When the owner gave up on it, so then they're pater. Before the owner gave up on it, they have to return it back to him. So again, the case that we said before, that Ratzemizegov, he's allowed to collect either from the Gazlan or this third party who ultimately consumes it, that was before Yish, because it's always in his Rishus. After Yish, it's not in his Rishus. Why is it not in his Rishus anymore? Because what you have now is Yish, and you have some level of Shinui Rishus, right? And with both of those items, Shinui Rishus by itself is not effective enough. Yish, with some sort of Shinui, with some sort of change, will ultimately affect it being extracted from his domain, and therefore he no longer has any rights to the money. The original Gazan has to always pay back what he stole, but the people who are holding on to it, who didn't actually steal it, right? So they don't have to return it anymore. He has no claim on them. He would have a claim on his item. If his item is around, he has a claim on his item. But once the item's consumed, his only monetary claim is to the person who actually stole it from him. Okay. So, Eminiach lefnei peturim. So the Gemara now quotes the halacha in the Mishnah. Eminiach lefnei, if he put it in front, if he left it over in Yerusha to the Yisomim, so they're pater from paying it off. Amar Rami Bachama, Rami Bachama says, Zos Samaris. It is from here, from this halacha in the Mishnah, we can infer Rishus Yorish Kirshus Lokeach, that the Rishus, the domain of the Yorish, the inheritor, is like the domain of the Lokeach. In what sense? That just as a Lokeach essentially takes it out of the original owner's Rishus, so also the Yorish, right? So also the inheritor takes it out of the original owner's Rishus. To what extent? To the extent that they're pater from paying. Just like the Yarshim in the Mishnah we see are pater from paying back. So when they have it in the Rishus, it's like the owner was Miyayish, we said before, there's Yish. They now have transferred it to their Rishus. How is it transferred to the Rishus? Because they inherited it. So there's a transfer in Rishus. And once it's transferred in Rishus, it's no longer in the owner's possession anymore. Rava Amar, Rava says, no, you know what? That's not the halacha is not true. He'll have to reinterpret the Mishnah, but Rava will say, Amar Rava Amar, Rishus Yorish, Lav Kirshus Lokeach. When it transfers over to the Yorish, to the inheritor, it's not like it goes into another Rishus. It's always in the original owner's Rishus, original, right, before the Yerusha. It's not like something transferred over when you purchase something. It's in the original Rishus. The Gemara says, the question then becomes, if it's in the original owner's Rishus, why don't the Yarshim, these people in the Mishnah, why are they putter? It's still in the original owner's Rishus. Why are they putter from paying? So Gemara says, Hachav Mai Skinon Kesha Acholim. The halach in the Mishnah is in case where the item is no longer extant, the item has been consumed. Because the item has been consumed, they don't owe him. He doesn't have a monetary claim on them. All he has on them, again, is a claim for the particular item. Once they've consumed the item, he has no claim on them anymore. So Gemara says, Hamid Gatani Sev, the Gemara says, how can you interpret the Mishnah? This is just a very technical point here. How can you interpret the Mishnah to mean that it's talking about a case where they ate it up? Hamid Gatani Sefa, but the case in the Mishnah, in the Sefa of the Mishnah is, Im Hayadabar Sheesh Ba'achrayas, Hayavim L'Shalim. If the father left him over something that has Achrayas, Rashi says that the what we're talking about here is something that's not karka, but it's like karka, something that's very recognizable, right? Something that you would recognize as the original owner's item. So if he left over that type of item, and let's say his talus or something, right? Which everyone knows, you know, he has a cowhide talus bag or something, and everyone knows he's the one guy in Shul that has the cowhide talus bag, right? So you're walking around with it, like, oh, that's it. So as kavod to their father, who left it over to him as Yerusha, we say, even though they don't really have to give it back anymore, we say give it back, because people are going to know that that's his thing. So if he left him over that type of thing, then they have to pay it back. The indication there, Mechlal Dereisha B'Gezela Kayemes. So the indication there is that even if the Gezela was around, the only time you have to return it is if it's an item that they can identify with the original owner. If it's not an item that they can identify with the original owner, even if the item is still here, they wouldn't have to return it. So Gemara says, so you can interpret the Mishnah to be talking about a case where the item was eaten up. Again, because the only reason you'd have to return the last case in the Mishnah is because it's something that they will always identify with the original owner. Ordinarily, you wouldn't have to return an item, even if it's here. As long as you can't identify with him, they'd be allowed to keep it. So Gemara says, Amal Charava Hachikamar. No, when we said in the Mishnah, Davar Sheyesh B'Achrayas, that's not what it means. It means like we typically understand Davar Sheyesh B'Achrayas. Eminiach Lem Aviyam Achrayas Lechasim. If the father left them over, not the Gezela item is this type of item that can be identified with the father. The father left them separately over property. So Nechasim Chayavim L'Shalim. So they have to pay back from those properties. The father, those properties, right, were held over as a lien for whatever debts the father owned. This is a debt the father owns, so they'd have to pay back from those properties. Fine. Gemara says, "V'hamasin le Rebbe le Reb Shimon Berei." But Rebbe said to Reb Shimon, "Lo davar sheyesh b'achrayis mamish." The Gemara is now going to say that Rebbe himself interpreted the Mishnah like we had said before. What? Lo davar sheyesh b'achrayis mamish. When we say in the Mishnah a davar sheyesh b'achrayis, it doesn't mean specifically a davar sheyesh b'achrayis. El afilu parav v'chorish ba chamaruch u'mechamer acharav chayavin lahachzer. These things, his cow, his donkey, those types of things that he leaves over to you, you have to return to him. Why? So you see that when the Mishnah uses the term, it does in fact refer not to like a field, it refers to something that is identifiable with the original owner. So that, again, our question comes back to the four. So Ela Amar Rava, Gemara says, you know what? That is one interpretation of the Mishnah. I have a different interpretation. You, correct, that is a way to learn the Mishnah. I have a different interpretation of the Mishnah, and my interpretation, my halacha is based on my interpretation. El Amar Rava, ki shechivna, when I die, Rav Oshia nafik leviyasi. When I die, Rav Oshia is going to come and be malava me in Gan Eden. Why? De taritzna masnisa kavasei, because I interpreted the Mishnah based on how he understood the Mishnah. De tan Rav Oshia hagozel lemachla, as one of a person who steals, and he feeds, and his children eat the item, peturim, Peturim l'sham, so the children are pater. And again, this is just going to spell out the Mishnah differently and say that nechas m'sheish, that when it says sheish b'acharis, it's talking about other fields. Hagoz l'machlas banif, peturim l'sham, they're pater from payim. He niach l'fneim gzela kayamas, if he left them over gzela kayamas, and the gzela is still around, chayavin, they have to pay it back. If the gzela is still around, they have to pay it back. Ena gzela kayamas, if the gzela is no longer around, it's been consumed. Peturim, the prata from paying back. If the father left over achrayis nechasim, meaning if he left over other fields, right, that the original owner can extract from, so they would ultimately have to pay him back from those fields. Okay, just one more. Let me see if I can do a little bit more. Amar Mar. So that's again. That's the interpretation of the Mishnah, where achrayis means achrayis nechasim, and you can interpret the Mishnah now to mean that the original case where their pater is where the item is no longer available. The item is no longer around. Amar Mar, ena gzela kayemas peturim. So Gemara says, Gemara is just going to analyze this price for a second. Amar Mar, ena gzela kayemas. If the gzela is not around, peturim, their pater. So Gemara says, name it tabi tufta der chissa. Perhaps that refutes the halacha of Rav Chissa. Remember, Rav Chissa before had said that the item is always in the owner's rishus. So Gemara says, Amalcha Rav Chissa. No, Rav Chissa says the item is only in the owner's rishus before Yish. Amalcha Rav Chissa. Rav Chissa will say, Kitanya Ahila Acha Yish. After Yish, it's not in his rishus anymore, and therefore, since it's not in his rishus anymore, the person holding on to the item is going to be pater. So Gemara says, Amar Mar Gzela Kayemes Chayem L'Shalim. When the Brisa had said, when the gzela is around, you have to, the Yarshim or Chayiv to pay. So name it Tavi Tiyufta to Rami Barchama. Maybe that refutes the halacha of what? Rami Barchama, who said that the Rishus Yoresh is like the Rishus Elokeach, meaning a Yoresh essentially takes it out of the owner's Rishus, the original owner's Rishus, and therefore you should be Pater. So Gemara says, but this Brisa is saying that the owner, that the person holding on to it, the Yarshim or Chayiv, so it says, Amlecha Rami Barchama, Kitaniahi Lifnei. Lifnei Yeish. So he says it's talking about a case before Yeish, and before Yeish, it's still in the original owner's rishus.